Welcome in to DC On Screen. I am your host, David C. Robertson, and this, the man who helped a family assemble an IKEA table last night, Jason Goss.
It wasn't even my night off.
Oh, today we're going to be talking about Supergirl 118. We're going to be getting super spoilery as well. This is World's Finest. This is what we've been waiting on. This is the big Flash Supergirl crossover. Did it meet your expectations, sir?
Fully. One of the things I realized early on is I didn't have enough notebook for this episode. Like, if I wrote down every time that the episode just made me giddy, mm-hmm. I would have run through several pages quickly. But the episode met my expectations in both ways. One, Kara and Barry are just phenomenal, aren't they? Just phenomenal. Just wonderful.
They really are. Wonderful.
And then, yeah, the villains were just the worst thing I'd ever seen. So
terrible.
Every expectation. Yeah. I fully expected Silver Banshee and Livewire to be, how does Scott Madison put it, from the Kingdom of Hamelot?
Yeah, that was how Scott put it. Yeah. And Scott is a fan of the show, and a fan of the show, one of those fans that has become a friend.
There you go. So, I believe he hates Livewire as well as we do.
Well, he is a person. He's right. A human with a human soul.
A sentient being.
Who,
the odds
like
were in our
us,
favor.
Who, like us, just wants these things to be as good as they can be. Oh, and you know, with it was like, I don't want to harp on the female villains here that we had this week with Livewire and Silver Banshee, but oh man, they were just so bad. The makeovers, like in the comics, I don't want to spoil anything for you guys, but in the comics, Silver Banshee actually, when her powers manifested, she actually looked like that. Like, she, it wasn't makeup,
right?
So, you know.
No one had to tell her, oh, not in those clothes, you're not.
Yeah.
Oh, good heavens.
Scott actually had some fun things to say, and then we'll get off these villains and we'll talk about the good stuff.
How amazing the rest of this thing was.
Absolutely. Yeah. Scott says, let's collect... Actually, Scott says it too. Scott says, let's collect all the criticisms of the female villains in one place. Makeovers groan. Livewire must be from the Kingdom of Hamelot. Yeah, you called that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
That one stuck out.
Livewire is a rejected villain from the 80s gym cartoon.
There's a deep pool, guys. You all remember the gym cartoon. It scarred your souls, too.
Banshee saying, here's what I say to that. Boo.
Mm-hmm.
Banshee saying, all my life I thought I was cursed. That's bullshit, lady. All today you thought you were cursed. Before that,
and
you
really,
thought you were entitled.
Yeah, before that, she was just kind of having a hard time. Like, it's really like all of the last 20 seconds you thought, I've been cursed. Yeah, no, man. And if there was like a deleted piece of dialogue with her and that aunt that we didn't get that made that make sense, it should have been in there, damn it.
Right. He says, Barry feigns cocky in a face-off and pulls it off every time. Kara tried it this time after watching him and looks absolutely ridiculous. Gangster
right.
arms, did you lose right. your voice? Just stop, okay? For real. When did Banshee get superpowers for punching hard enough to knock Kara back? That's a really good point.
Just doesn't happen.
Down to
that should have shattered her arm. Yeah, I had the same point.
Yeah.
Should have shattered every bone in her arm.
Livewire,
do you remember that line? Do you remember the line, I'm cursed for the better?
Maybe, yeah.
Get off my show, woman.
Livewire, do you actually hate helicopters?
Right?
or are you just lashing out at whatever vehicular construct is nearest as an expression of your rage over being a poorly written villain? Again.
Right.
yeah. Okay. That's my hate for the villains. That's Scott Madison's hate for the villains. And I mirror those feelings. They were bad.
Yeah, it was hard not to hit fast forward almost when they were on screen.
It was. The only other thing I really had a huge issue with in this show is how the public, and Scott talks about this too, but the public coming to Kara's rescue was lame as hell. The firefighters, the whole thing, it was all just so bad.
It was...
Cheese.
It was poorly constructed. Like, the biggest thing about it, it's not so much that they come together, and I love the whole, like... I love the whole leave her alone. She was willing to die for us. All that stuff. That's great. Fine. But and we thought it'd get there again eventually. This was clumsy, real clumsy. Because the crux of it is that everyone stays in that vicinity. Like everyone just crouches behind shrubbery, hoping not to die quickly. Like that's not realistic, guys. I mean, I know I'm looking at a crossover show with The Flash, Supergirl, and Livewire and Silverman. I mean, I'm tossing realism mostly out the door. I get that, but that's too far. That's too far.
Yeah.
That's it, though. That's the hate for the episode. Everything else is just one giant love fest for me.
You know, when Siobhan told everyone thanks for nothing, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're such a douche.
Right. Calm it down. And she's in the hallway. She's telling Wynn, like, I'm so scared. I'm like, it's okay to have feelings. It's okay. Just calm it.
Which, by the way, yet another person knows where the DEO is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they had a good reason. Like, she just survived a 4-story fall. This probably get her to the DEO. I can get behind that. I just, the amount of people. You're right. That body count's getting up there, man.
Hey, you know, I mean, I have no problem with them going to the DEO. But you remember even in the old Adam West Batman series when he had to bring somebody back to the Batcave, he at least put a blindfold on them.
Right. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
Bam Pal Zap had a blindfold. Come on.
Right.
Give me something here, guys. I love that Cat Grant has a book about love advice.
Isn't that nice? It says it wasn't one of her greatest efforts, but still. Like, it's something she did for a paycheck, you know, a couple of...
So, yeah,
tell you what, Siobhan... I wanted those damn cupcakes by the time she was done talking about them.
Oh, man, right?
Right.
I'm, like, sitting there watching her with those cupcakes, and I have, like, a little solo cup full of Honey Nut Cheerios, and I'm thinking, I've failed in life.
I'm sitting there like, there's a Gigi's in walking distance. I could walk it off, I guess.
I was going to mention Gigi's, too, and thought, nope, that's probably a little too under the radar, but...
Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know where that place is. No, I don't know if it's just here, or I don't know. Anyway.
There we go.
When
they get introduced...
How about the line, I thought I
was the impossible.
That was a little cheesy for me.
Nah, I like that. I like that. It was so close to, like, you're who now? The who now?
Yeah.
Those are wonderful.
Yeah. I like that the same thing with Felicity. Same thing happened with Felicity happened with Kara, like him not wanting to put out her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was pretty funny. Felt right.
I'll tell you, man, I don't know what it was about Kara getting that ice cream, but she was just so happy.
She was just so happy. Yeah.
Yeah, and like enthusiastic about it too.
Her eyes were saucers. It was adorable.
Right?
It's like
she suddenly realized, wait, he can get every weird food I need as immediately as I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly realizes the value of how quickly she can have those things.
Yeah. I love that they like went through the list of people, and they're like, nope, we don't have those people. What about
right.
blah, 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 blah. Nope, we don't have those. And then Barry's reaction, oh, so we both have Mariah Carey. That's something.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
I loved Wynn and Kara geeking out over the multiverse.
Oh, it was fantastic. Wynn in general was a lot more fun. Man, he gets right on this train. He got a ticket. He didn't ask questions. He got to his seat.
He literally did not ask questions. They were like,
nope.
Oh, he's from another universe. He's like, oh, okay.
Excellent. Cool. No balking, nothing. It just, he's on board. I loved it. I loved it so much. And like, Wynn's over there grabbing Kara, going, oh my god, that's so cool. Yeah.
I love he goes, he says, one where we're all evil, one universe where we're all evil, and Barry goes, been there, it sucks.
Right. It's the way he does it, too. It sucks. Like, he just barely made it out. I want that.
I actually have a note here. Kara and Barry are adorable together. Shipping them now.
Yeah.
I apparently felt very strongly about that. I wrote it in all caps.
Right.
Like, hand wrote it all in caps. Yeah, I could deal with that. Sorry, James.
Yeah. Oh, man. And the line, too. Jealousy. Thy name is Olsen.
That's the next thing I have written down.
We're saying when you killed it this episode. That's what we're saying. Great job.
And you know, I get the feeling that Wynn would actually be okay and understand if she wound up with Barry.
I think he's kind of got like a nerd crush on Barry himself. It's fine. As long as the man from another universe gets to stick around, I think Wynn's going to be delighted by the entire process.
Absolutely. God, I wish these shows were in the same universe now.
I know.
Oh, I, Buried I mean, Cat Grant, speaking was the wrong choice. I see that now.
Right. And then she just drops it out of plain air earlier. Oh, please, the insistence on the name. He comes in town, the Flash is here. Comes in town, leaves town, the Flash is gone. Come on, I'm not that stupid.
Oh, God. What was I going to say? She goes, Cat goes, all four of you standing there doing nothing, you look like the attractive yet non-threatening, racially diverse cast of a CW show.
Isn't it wonderful?
I slow clapped. Wonderful?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I slow clapped, and actually Scott said that if, what was his exact
point was like, if Lucifer had done that, we'd be like, oh, fuck you, Lucifer, you haven't earned that. No, this show, though, they can get away with it. You know what? Fix your own boat first, Lucifer.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I would have been fine with it if it was on Lucifer. I would have laughed and went, well, that wasn't enough, but thanks. That's pretty good.
Right.
I don't like the line. I disagree, Scott. Flash sounds like somebody whose only superpower is jumping out of an alley in a trench coat.
Oh, it was good stuff. Yeah, Cat was on point again this episode. She, there was a couple episodes after Adam left where we lost her, I felt like. But nah. It's back to her old snarky, confident self. I love it. Really love it.
You know, I was actually surprised that they went the magic route with what's-her-face, with Silver Banshee.
I was surprised they didn't go farther with it.
I was surprised that they were just like, nope, we're going to go comic book on this shit and make her magic. Okay.
No, I wanted him to do that. Like, I wanted him, when they did the makeover, if she was going to say, like, well, not dressed like that, you're not, which is ridiculous anyway. But even then, if they just turned back to Banshee and she had kind of got, like held up a finger and hold on, and then, you know, puffed her hands or whatever, and there's a plume of smoke, and then you come back and she dressed like that, yeah, I could dig that a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I need a couple smoke effects. Stand in the same place for 2 seconds. Hell, it might cost less than the makeup.
Yeah, I don't know. If they'd used the makeup to, I don't know, be a placeholder for some better CGI or something. I mean, let me put it this way. I'm not sure if this is true, but I remember Silver Banshee being a lot cooler looking on Smallville.
You have to go back and research that one.
I mean, I remember seeing her on Smallville and going, damn, they really did it up.
Right. As I've expressed, I haven't seen it yet, but I keep being amazed by how many different characters you're like, when they did them on Smallville, and then I remember like, oh yeah, there's 1,500 seasons of that show. Of course they got around to them. After a while, they were just grabbing like a DC Comics Wikipedia page and printing out a random page going, this is our new star this week. Who's that? Bug-Eyed Bandit, it looks like. Bug-Eyed Bandit, come forward.
Yeah.
Who do we have here? Argyle. Ooh, I don't think we can even get that one.
You know what? I just looked it up, and I was wrong. It looks bad. I think what they did, though, I honestly think what they did is they shot it in really low light.
Because
it was very clearly, like, very dark.
Well, she's supposed to be kind of a Hellspawn, so, you know, Shooter in the Dark works for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway.
Did you, on this one, did you enjoy watching how much Wynn was loving rubbing it in on Jimmy?
Absolutely. It was great.
leaning in every now and then, looking right at James, going, did I tell you how much I love this guy? You might as well have had a stick just prodding him in one of his 16 abs.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like the speeches, too. The speeches at the end when they're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and I always love it when they bring music along and do it well. And yeah, they incorporated the Flash kind of theme really well into the Supergirl's music this week.
They did.
I always love taking a moment to mention that the score was done well. And I got to admit, how many times have you heard me on Supergirl this season kind of come out with specifically like, hey, did you hear this?
Yeah.
They've done good work on this thing.
They have. Scott says something. He says, every moment Barry and Kara interact on screen is like ice cream for the geek soul.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I kept I have several notes on my little page here that are basically like, ah, racing, so cute. Ah, good speech, so cute. There's a lot of mentions of painfully cute and oh my God, and this is what I want to do forever. And at some point, a giant in all caps, I want to hear Barry tell Cisco everything. I want an entire episode that's just them like drinking coffee while Barry tells him every single thing he saw here.
Yeah.
Can't you just imagine Cisco, there's a super what? Yeah. Okay. Supergirl, a super who?
Flash Riders. Can we get a web show? Just like a web episode. Just like...
Yeah, throw it on CW Seed or something.
Yeah, please.
Mehmet Jitters, just him telling him the quick story, Cisco being amazed by the whole thing. Wonderful.
Absolutely. I want that right now.
Right. And then, like, at some point, they're talking about a Supergirl. And I was like, I can't believe there's a Supergirl. And Caitlin happens to wander by to grab her cup of coffee and looks down like, how could there not be a Supergirl? And just walks off.
Yeah.
Just something simple. And the, you know, stuff at the end, too.
The stuff at the end. Yeah, well, I want to get to that here in a second. Is that a spaceship? Actually, that's my spaceship. I love this Earth. Oh, that's great.
Again, more mentions of painfully cute.
Just everything. Everything with those two.
Yeah.
Except for Kara's gangster arms. That was lame.
Even that was funny. Even that was just very funny.
A little bit. Like, it fits in with their character of how lame they both are.
Right. You know, something I've seen Wen do several times this season. He's never failed, actually. There's an uber-powerful creature, at least compared to him, who, you know, given his frame and the fact that they're always sitting in next to James Olsen, he looks like he's small even for a normal human. But he just constantly walks up to people that mean to do harm and tries to win them over with a damn valiant speech. He doesn't learn from his lessons very well, but he's a brave old plucky bastard.
Yeah, he is. To me, this entire episode was almost a throwaway. Like, if it wasn't for wrapping up the Siobhan storyline and the very end, it was almost a complete throwaway, but damn, what a nice throwaway.
Yeah, if you're going to just throw an episode down the well and forget about it, let it be this.
This is going to wind up being one of those most memorable episodes. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It already is. Like, I can't even remember, I'm not even sure I can remember 3 episodes of Supergirl.
I can remember more episodes, just this one's substantially good.
You're right, I remember Livewire and how bad it was.
No, they'll always, like, the moment I decided I was really going to have hope for this show was, like, the Red Tornado ending with the solar flare.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah, that was just damn good. And it was another time where the score came in where I'm like, oh, they spent money on this music.
You know what? I always remember the scene and the score, the shots of the, but I never remember what episode that is.
I couldn't tell you the name of it or anything. I mean,
I never remember it's the one with Red Tornado. I think it's actually called Red Tornado. I'm not, I don't know.
I think so.
Probably.
I love that the National City Police Department now has a lockup for metahumans because of Barry.
That is nice.
That's awesome.
That is very nice. And James' insistence that due diligence be applied to even criminals.
Mm-hmm. I want to hug Barry.
I know. Well, we always want to hug Barry, though. Just natural. It's a natural course.
Well, if they, you know, I think they should do like a little mini crisis. Go ahead and put those universes together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no part of Supergirl that wasn't made better by the Flash. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. Well, her villains weren't improved by the Flash, but other than that, I agree.
Yeah, they kind of just had the same Flash villain syndrome.
Yeah.
They suffer from geomanceritis.
Right. Look, they're giving us things we love heartily, so every now and then we're going to have to deal with a bad villain. It's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's the cost of enjoying this kind of thing.
It's like the guy that played Commodore Decker on Star Trek, like, one of the only guys who just decided he wasn't going to play it. He didn't realize it was actually an adult show, so he didn't play it straight at all. He played it like way over the top, and which worked really well because his character was going insane.
But so like, no one stopped him.
But as he got older, he was like, in later interviews and stuff, he was like, I kind of wish that I'd taken that seriously because I think I could have done better, but I thought it was a show for kids. And now I feel foolish.
That sounds like a problem with you and your agent, buddy.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Someone probably should have told you what show you were on.
Oh, poor Will Decker, whatever his name was. Matt Decker. Not Will Decker. That was his son in the motion picture. Anyway, Kara and James finally kiss.
Yeah.
What do you know about that? And Myriad
After,
goes into
action. By the way, the nerdiest come-on line ever conceived.
Which one did you think that was?
Her whole bit about Infinite Earths, I loved it. I would have fallen in love with her immediately, but it was also the nerdiest single come on I've ever heard in my life.
Wait, what did she say? I don't remember that.
She has a whole speech prepared, and she obviously has it because she's. It sounds almost like she's practiced this thing. She's got a whole speech prepared about like the infinite Earths and how and there's a universe where everything's happening and blah blah blah. And like she's trying to make the point, obviously, that like, hey, so there's going to be a universe where like me and you were together, and maybe we should make it this universe. I know what she's getting to, but she's just mm-hmm. having a predictably Kara enough hard time getting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then accurately enough, she finally says, "Oh, screw it. I'm much better at doing." Yes, you are, Kara. Yes, you are. You're not.
I remember that. Yeah, I like that line. I remembered that. But yeah, I remember that now that you say it.
I say she's not a talker, but that's not true. Like the you remember the scene? Oh God. I think this was like the one where she's lost her powers after the solar flare. You know, she stops that armed robbery, but you know, really just with a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
She can pull one out every now and then, but it's almost exclusively when she's not got her eyeglasses on.
Yeah. So, whoa. They finally kiss, but his reaction there is no reaction. And it was creepy, man. It was creepy for a second.
It was.
And he goes to walk out, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And then like, everybody's walking out.
I'm having like visions of Cybermen when I saw that.
Damn you, Non. Damn you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the writers are doing a bit of a disservice to the show and the fans because they have literally made every character on the show that was a possible beau for Kara more interesting than James.
See, that's not true to me.
It is entirely true.
No.
Wind is quirky, he's funny, he's geeky, he's us. Of course we want him to wind up with Kara. Barry is quirky, geeky, and fun. Of course we want him to wind up with Kara.
You know, fucking superhero.
Even Adam was more interesting than James.
I don't.
All James has done is like sit around wondering about... Okay, what do you got on this one?
It's. I don't even feel the need to necessarily defend it that way. It's just I find him more interesting. I don't find him as woefully uninteresting as you do, at the very least. Like, to me, he's got a fair amount going on. It's not like he's got some deep, dark secret that the show has been hiding from us, which I actually appreciate now that I've, you know, put it that way.
Yeah, that's nice. I agree with you. Yeah, that's nice.
I like having characters that don't necessarily have, you know, the...
Sure.
Yeah, but on top of that, like, to me, I like that he moved to the new city. He's still kind of dealing with his... Like, the Lucy thing was a little bit of a... Eh.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of knew that wasn't going anywhere, I suppose, but... his stuff with Kara has been interesting, just here recently at least, when he's kind of started having feelings for himself, but they've kept him good. They've kept him, like, the stuff with the DEO, for instance, where he's defending that. I like the fact that he's got this entire history with Superman, and he decided that he wanted to go try to build his own.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, he's going to come over here and try to teach her how to, you know, teach her all the things that Superman might not be there to teach her.
Hey, you know, I think all of his, like, character points and everything that the show's given him have really worked on paper, but I'm not feeling it. Like,
I think it's all it comes down to. That's why I don't necessarily feel the need to defend him.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly it is, but he just comes off as a, you know, very attractive plank of wood. I mean, I'm not trying to slam the show. I kind of wish... Maybe it is just because of everyone that they've kind of thrown her up against romantically has been, or, you know, like maybe it is because they all have seemed a lot more interesting to me. They're all funnier. They keep throwing her up next to people who are, I don't know, geeky and funny. And James is just so, suave, the word I'm looking for. Like, he's just so kind of serious. Like, my favorite James moment.
They don't give him enough jokes for you, I think, too.
Yeah, but, you know, when they have given him jokes or, like, given him something, like, sly to say or something, or put him in, like, an embarrassing situation or given him comedic beats, I have enjoyed him a lot more.
Yeah, I don't think he's done...
It's not the actor's fault. I'm not saying that either.
Just something about him you're not connecting with yet.
Yeah, they have it. And I think maybe it was the whole Lucy thing.
Well, that
maybe
made it
was the whole, like, you
that
know, kinda, forlorn...
It made it still for a bit.
You know, talking to Kara on the phone, like, oh, we can't beat it. Ugh. Okay. but I, you know, I did, I don't know, I was like, no, not Myriad now, even though I've been bitching the entire season going, what the hell is Myriad?
Like, and when do we get to see it? Oh, not just yet. Damn it. I'll tell you what, though, man, I really hope he remembers that kiss, because I'm not sure she's brave enough to do that again.
Yeah. That would totally be like, I could totally see that being a Buffy thing, like a Buffy type of moment where he doesn't remember it. And she's like, well, the last time I did it, she's telling Wynn or something, like, the last time I kissed him, he went into a trance.
I literally killed his will with my lips, Wynn.
He went into a trance and the entire world was in danger.
Right.
Oh, man. So, I complain, but
it's got like the vaguest, good job, the vaguest of harkening backs to the one of the, what's that Superman memory deleting kiss?
Oh yeah, it does.
It's got the vaguest hint of it.
Oh, why would you bring that up?
I don't know. Sometimes it's just like hearing the sorrow in your voice, I guess. You were feeling too good about things. I had to pull you back in.
Oh.
Yeah, good damn show though. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. You know, I think in
they've been on a good run recently.
They have. Scott's comments really mirrored our own here, as did Matthew Ryan Cronin's over on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He did say Silver Banshee looked like she belonged at the Day of the Dead Festival, which is nice.
Right.
That's totally true.
She would have fit in just fine there, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone had kind of the same reaction to this episode. I even enjoy the world's finest, and I actually wrote it down wrong in my notes, but it's world's plural apostrophe finest.
Apostrophe after worlds. The S?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
That really is. Well done, guys.
You see what you did there, show. Nicely done.
Anyway.
I think that's all I've got for this episode, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm out. I'm good.
All right. Guys, we enjoyed this episode. Tell us what you thought of this episode, and you can find every episode of DC On Screen at dconscreen.com. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, iTunes and Stitcher, of course. If you are looking for a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We are a part of the Giant Size Team Up Network, giantsizeteamup.com. We just did a big Batman vs. Superman roundtable event with the Marvel Cinematic Universe on Breaking the Panel. Which is a whole other show you should be checking out. And also, I did want to throw out a shout out to the Suicide Squad cast, who did like a special World's Finest review / recap conversation episode. Well, I don't know why I said conversation. That's weird. We all have conversations on these shows. What the hell is going on? But it was really good. I enjoyed listening to it, so go check that out. Until next time, guys, we're going to be talking about Gotham 216 Prisoners on the next episode. So until then, keep some DC on your screen.